We extend Christian greetings to each one today and welcome each one to this part of the service. I can say I was richly blessed with the devotional we heard this morning about the importance of trusting. If you don't trust, the promise is, does you no good. I was really blessed with that. Today we came through the last chapter in Hebrews, and I was blessed with that. The first verse in that was, let brotherly love continue. And may we all be encouraged in that today. For the message, I would like to elaborate a little bit on a question that I would like to put out there. How much do you love the Lord your God? I'll be going, Lord willing, through some Old Testament scriptures and some different accounts, but I'd like for you to ruminate on that as we go through that. How much do I love the Lord my God? Looking at a time of in the life of the disciples, in John chapter 21, John records how that it was after Jesus' crucifixion that Peter told some of the other apostles, he said, I'm going to go fishing. And they said, we're going to go with you. And so they went fishing. And the way I understand it, there were like seven of them that were fishing that night. And they fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And they were easing in towards shore when they looked up and they saw a man walking on the seashore. Didn't recognize who it was, and it was Jesus Christ. And he called out there to them and he asked them, have y'all caught anything? And they said, no, we didn't catch anything. And he said, cast your net on the other side, on the right side of the ship. And so they did, and immediately their net was filled with fish. And then Peter recognized, he said, it is the Lord. And he jumped in the water and he ran into him. And Jesus told the others to bring the fish on in. And there were 153 great fishes. And Peter, Jesus allowed them to take care of their fish, but then he said, come and dine. And so they did. He already had fish on a fire, it seems like. I'd like to read verses in John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17. It says, and so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. That is a very familiar scripture, I think, to probably all of us, most of us. And I'd like for us to kind of think about those questions that the Lord put to Peter also as we go through this message. I would like to turn to an account in Genesis. Feel free to go there with me. I would like to read Genesis 22, verse 1 through 19. This is an account where Abraham was to offer up his son Isaac. According to history, Abraham left Mesopotamia, and God had told him to go to a country that he would show him. Abraham was a committed follower of God. He was known far and wide, according to history. for his hospitality. But little did Abraham know and realize that when God called him to go to this land that he would show him, he had promised him a son. Little did he realize that he would be asked to sacrifice his son on an altar when he left Mesopotamia. One thing that we do good to note is Abraham was known for his hospitality. Let's read this lesson. My desire is that we would all allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and minister to the needs that are there. As we go through this, allow him to speak to your heart. The first 19 verses of Genesis chapter 22. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." I'd like for us to take a special note of verse 5 here. What comes to your mind when you think of worshiping God? How do you worship God? You know, the thought that comes to my mind is singing him praises, and so forth. But according to verse 5, it seems that worshiping God has more to do with obedience to him than it does in that. It says here in verse 5 that Abraham told the young men that were with him to abide at that place. and that him and his son Isaac would go on yonder to the mountain to worship. Now, Isaac, Abraham's son, was a promise from God that was long in the making. I don't know how many years went by that Abraham had received that promise, and God had not, it still had not happened. And I can only imagine how special that Isaac was to Abraham. And in my mind, Abraham felt anything but worship when he was called to go sacrifice his only son. Abraham also had other children, but Isaac was special, his most special one. So I think that worship of God has to do with obedience, maybe more so than just singing. In the Bible, we read how that in Abraham's life, he was a man who believed God, and he's a father of faith. And I find it interesting that Muslims also hold Abraham as one of their prophets. Just a point of interest. And also, you know, Isaac, he dwelt in the land of Canaan, and then Jacob, we know how Jacob then went down into Egypt. And I don't know how long they sojourned in Egypt till they became slaves. And then there was a coming out. I would like to read a section in Exodus chapter 20. Feel free to turn there. This is where the Ten Commandments are taken out of. But while they were, I don't know how many generations that Israel was in slavery. But you children in here, imagine the excitement. You know, when you're a slave, you just stay right there where you are commanded to be and work, work, work. You never go anyplace unless your master allows it. And here they were slaves to making bricks. And I don't know for how many generations, how long that was. But all of a sudden, for the first time in some of those people's lives, they were going somewhere. They were going on a trip. And there was a man that they were to follow that they probably didn't even know him. He was gone for 40 years. And then they followed him out of there after the plagues happened in Egypt. And in the beginning of their journey, very quickly in the beginning, they had this monumental event of crossing through the Red Sea. That should have been a big sign that God was with them. God is the only one with the mighty power of being able to divide the sea in that way for them to pass through. And coming on and coming to Exodus chapter 20, I would like to read there the first 26 verses. But to set the scene, I would like to ask this question: how would you feel if God spoke to you directly, as he did to Israel? In the first verse here, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying." That's how it starts in. I'd like to read verse 18 to kind of set the scene of what Israel experienced. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." This is what they were experiencing and seeing, I think, and God was speaking. And God said this, starting in verse 2, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I would like to break in here, just make a little comment for the sake of the younger ones in here. I used to wonder myself, how do you take the name of the Lord in vain? And I would just like to say this, when we say God's name carelessly, without really meaning anything with it, that is taking his name in vain. When we use God's name, when we say God's name, it should be with reverence and with awe of who he is. We should not say his name lightly. Going on, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. I think we'll cut it off there instead of 26 for the sake of time. But here, it was really something how God spoke and gave this message to the people. And thinking of the great commandments, I would now like to turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, it says here, this, in this scene, there were people who questioned Jesus Christ. And it seemed like he answered them very well. And so another scribe questioned him, a lawyer. And Matthew 22 records it in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Which of these two commandments is the greatest? Jesus gave two of them here. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. But it says there, the second is like unto it. Holding that one up, some people would say maybe as of equal value, to love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, I would almost say that the first one is more important. But along with that, I would also say that you cannot do one without the other. Cannot do one without the other. This is Jesus himself. He is the one that gave all the commandments. But he said all the others hang on these two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. In John chapter 15, Jesus speaking, verse 12 to 14, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Why did he not say, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for God? He said that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 to 21, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So how much do I, or you, really love the Lord our God? Turning to Matthew chapter 25, in Matthew 25, we read the account where Jesus' second coming, he's going to separate the good from the bad, the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then in verse 45, then shall he answer unto them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Have we ever been involved in evil speaking about fellow church members? As born-again believers, we are temples wherein the Spirit of God wants to dwell. And if we're ever involved in putting each other down, if we're ever involved in evil speaking, is Jesus telling us that that's what we're doing to him, that we're persecuting him when we do that to each other? I'd like to ask a question. I'd like to make this a little bit more personal. Us husbands in here, do you love your wives? That's maybe not really the proper question. Maybe the question should be put to the wives. Do you feel loved by your husbands? That would be a truer way to find out. And the wives in here, do you love your husbands? Do you honor and respect them? A truer form to find out is to ask your husband, does he feel honored and respected and loved by you? And your children? Do you love your parents? maybe it'd be better to ask your parents, do they feel honored, loved, and respected by you? And you parents here, the same thing is true for your children. The question would be to them, do they feel loved and cared for by you? That is something we as families should do. And you know, we can stand here and say that we love the church. We love everybody in the church. And I'd like to say this to Brother Mike, James, Ralph, and myself in particular. The real question is to the church people, does the church feel loved by us? That is a more better gauge to go by. We talked about Peter, how that Jesus asked him three times in succession, do you love me? The real question is, do you think Jesus felt loved by Peter when Peter denied him three times, that he said that he didn't even know who he was? Another question, do you feel loved by the Lord? If you picture him hanging on a tree in your stead, he did that for you. Absolutely, we feel that we are loved by him. But the real question for each one of us, does God feel loved by us? If you would ask God, does he feel loved by us? That is the real question. Or are we too busy? How many times has he wanted to communicate with me or with you? And maybe I just didn't listen, or maybe I was just too busy. Maybe I was just watching a movie. Or maybe I was just on my cell phone. Do I fill up my life with him? Or is my life too full of other things? How much we love each other within the church as a family can be a tremendous witness to the fallen world around us. We were talking in our Sunday school lesson today about society around us. And it seems like even here in the little town of Paris, it seems you see more and more of the wickedness of the culture that we're surrounded with. And to me, it's a tremendous blessing and a value to be a part of God's family, to be a part of his church. But the real question that I would like to leave with each one of us, does God feel loved by you, by me? Let's kneel in prayer.